It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9. That can only mean one thing. Your host, Jackson White, is alongside Owen Pulley in HD1 Studios, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
Good afternoon, and welcome into the Sports Spotlight. And hey, a new intro means a new era for the Sports Spotlight. And before we get the show started, we'd like to announce that we are signing Owen Pulley to the remainder of the year contract. So he graduated from the 10-day, and we will sign him on for the remainder of the year.
And we're here for the news conference right now. We'll be answering any questions about our deal, our contract. All right, there are no questions, so there we go.
It is a veteran minimum, even though he's a rookie.
Well, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
The veteran minimum is free food at the marathon, so congratulations.
Hey, there you go. Work.
Yeah.
And you get to call games.
Yeah.
Man, how about Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Where's that's Hunt home versus Westfield.
Yeah. You good?
Maybe.
Are you good, bro?
I have practice that day, but I think I can skip out on practice for one day.
I don't know.
I did miss that one game called Decatur. So.
Yeah. And it was a good game.
It was a good game.
Yeah. They lost.
But you were saying.
It's January 21st on a Friday of the year 2022.
Woo!
And, it's Friday. We usually don't have these shows on Friday, but it's a special Friday for a special occasion. I'm your host, Jackson White, joined alongside Owen Pulley, full-time member. And WBDG General Manager John Easter are going to be tuning in today.
Yeah, just coming in because I wanted to.
Yeah, because you can. Yeah.
That's what I was doing. You're the general manager.
It's like, are you entering this in contest? I don't know. Okay, I'll be in.
And we got a good show coming your way. NFL divisional round playoffs. The future of the Pacers, they just beat the Golden State Warriors in overtime last night. They've won two straight.
Hold on. With, like, no starters. Their best player on the floor
starters played.
Yeah. Probably either Chris Duarte or Justin Holiday.
Dorte had a good game. The future of the Pacers, I mean, what is the future hold for them? As most of their team is now injured. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs or anything this year. But do they make trades? I mean, it's just kind of something to think about. And then IU beat Purdue last night for the first time in a long time. Since 2016, 9 consecutive games, the Hoosiers finally take down the Boilermakers.
There you go.
So that was a good game. We'll talk about that and more. But let's get into the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, starting with the 1-seed Tennessee Titans taking on the Cincinnati Bengals, the 5-seed. And, I mean, this is going to be a good game, I think. I mean, the Bengals go into this one red hot. They're a good team. They have talent on offense. They have a good defense as well. They beat the Raiders 26-19 in the wild card. And I know Tennessee Titans are in the AFC South. They're just getting back Derrick Henry. And they're getting back Julio Jones as well. You look at on paper, I mean, this team looks ready to win. I don't think they are. I got the Bengals winning this one. I mean, Owen, the Titans have not played in a week, and their offense has always been iffy. Derrick Henry coming back from injury. He has not played since week 8. There's going to be a little bit of rust there. He's not going to come back and rush for 200 yards. I mean, I would assume he won't. So who do you have in this wild card divisional round matchup?
You know, I think I got to give it to Cincinnati as well because I think that there's going to be kind of like this reverse psychology mind game going to be going on possibly. Like, maybe we'll give it to Derrick Henry. Maybe we won't, just be prepared. But I think that if they try to give it to Derrick Henry too much, the Bengals defense, like, they know he's coming back and they're just going to be prepared.
Well, I picked the Raiders last week. I said they were going to be the surprise team.
No.
Well, the Raiders gave a good account of themselves, I think, in that divisional game. It was one of the two that were worth watching, I think, over last week's wild card weekend, super wild card weekend, blah, 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 you know, whatever. But I think I'm going to go with the Titans in this one. I think I will go against you guys, not because I don't like the Bengals, just because the Titans find a way. I don't know how they're number one. I don't know how they negotiated and navigated through without Derrick Henry. I don't know how they made it to the 1-seed, but they did. Everybody thought the Colts were going to win the division when Derrick Henry went out. Everybody's excited, you know.
No, they didn't.
Derrick Henry, no, they didn't. because the Colts couldn't beat the Jaguars. pain. We got to laugh about it.
Pain.
If you don't laugh about it, you'll go crazy. So I think the Titans find a way, but I am really intrigued by this Bengals team. Lots of young talent with Joe Burrow, young receiving core, young nucleus, young head coach. And I hope that the Bengals win for Bengals fans, because
they need it.
They have been suffering for a long time.
Joe Shiesty coming in.
The hopeful of who they nation, they yeah. call themselves. They won their first playoff game since 1992.
Somebody finally got to send that text like we talked about.
Yeah, actually, text did not become a thing until prior to them winning a playoff game. So that tells you anything. After, yeah. So that's just something. And then there's only one team that has not won a playoff game in the late, early 90s, and it's the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Will they ever win one? Yeah, I don't know about that one.
I mean, Matt Stafford just got his first playoff win ever.
But that's with the Rams.
Right.
Not with the Lions. Or the Lions, whatever you want to call them.
I saw a interesting fact. The Bengals recorded their first ever playoff win with the country of Russia being an official country.
Yeah, I guess.
Because the last time they won was 1991, and that was the last year of the Soviet Union.
They were still the Soviet Union.
Mm, wow, that is something. Well, Joe Burrow's that guy. And
you got to like, I like his confidence and his moxie. And, of course, I'll be rooting for the Bengals.
Oh, yeah.
With Chris Evans.
Yeah, and Chris Evans. He did have a catch in that last game, I do believe.
So that's pretty awesome. Gives the West Side something to root for. I just think the Titans will find a way. They have all season. Yeah. I think they'll find a way here again.
I think Mike Vrabel's a top eight coach.
Yeah, I have to grudgingly agree.
I mean,
Patriots and the Titans.
I know. I mean, both are rivals here in Indianapolis. But you got to give them credit where it's due.
Colts had a chance to hire him, too.
Yeah. They did. They met with him, but yeah, they accepted McDaniels instead, and now he's in New England still. So yep. Hey, but this
nobody wants to hire him.
Oh,
I wonder why.
I do have a quick question with you. So, Eberflus was interviewed and is probably most likely going to take the top job in Jacksonville. You want him?
He can take him.
One gone?
Yes, I want him gone. I mean, he's a good defensive coordinator. Don't get me wrong, but it's just his defense is just not aggressive enough.
Like you said, it's that bend don't break.
It's that bend don't break defense, and when it's the fourth quarter and you're up by 10, they play 15 yards back because they don't want to allow a big play. So teams just pick them apart all, and they just drive down the field.
See, that's what I think like you said, they're up 10 in the fourth quarter.
I don't think they send enough blitzes either. Right. I think that, I mean, if you're struggling to get to the quarterback, send Darius Leonard at the guy.
They have the strength and the power to do it and the speed.
Yeah, and I mean, the problem is they just need to get another edge threat. I mean, you have DeForest Buckner, probably the second best defensive tackle in the NFL. And he's not even, I mean, he at times was not even, it felt like he wasn't even playing.
Just sign TJ Watt.
Oh, I wish.
Or trade him. Trade for him.
Like, mm-hmm.
It's not that easy.
No, I know.
The Steelers aren't going to give up for him.
No.
But
aren't going to give up him.
I mean, there's a lot of good defensive minds out there that are without a job right now. And defensive minds that are better than Eberflus. And in all reality, Eberflus was not even Reich's hire. He was McDaniel's hire.
We could get the old Colts defensive coordinator, a young man by Bill Belichick, back.
That's funny.
He was never the Colts defensive coordinator.
I thought he was.
He was the Giants.
He was quality control with the Colts.
Thought, yeah, I'm thinking he's the Giants defensive coordinator. He started for some reason. I thought he was the Colts DC, and then
he
went
was also the Jets head coach for one day.
For one day.
For one day. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then he went to New England the next day.
He resigned on a piece of notebook paper. I resign as Jets HC.
I mean, that might have been probably the best move he's ever made.
Oh yeah. I mean, only.
The two Bills, if you've seen that, I think that's a 30 for 30.
Mm-hmm.
That is a fantastic 30 for 30.
Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick.
Amazing 30 for 30.
But now, sidebar, going to the next divisional game is a game against another one seed and the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners travel up to Green Bay to take on the Green Bay Packers, and the Niners got a stunner. As they wanted to give it to the Cowboys, but they ended up winning that one. The Niners have a talented team. They beat the Cowboys 23-17. They now travel up to Green Bay to take on Aaron Rodgers, this back-to-back MVP, I would assume. And the Green Bay Packers and the Packers got a week off a team that was getting a little banged up. They're getting their offensive line back. I mean, I'm going to take the Packers in this one. I mean, I could see the Niners being the team to make a run because they're kind of like, I mean, if the Colts would have made it in, that would have been the sleeper team that could have made a run because they're that type of team. The Niners are the Colts of the NFC, at least this year. And the Niners made it in. They beat the Cowboys, and, I mean, this team could win. They could do it. They, I mean, the Jimmy G's, no, he's a good quarterback. He's not great, but he's average. He, I mean, he's a good game manager. And they have a good running game with Elijah Mitchell, Deebo Samuel. He also runs the ball. I mean, they have a great defense. I mean, they know how to get to the quarterback, something the Colts do not know how to do. And, I mean, this game, I mean, everyone thinks it's just going to be Packers by a lot. I think the Niners have a chance, but, I mean, you can't go wrong, Aaron Rodgers. If it's the NFC Championship game, I'm picking against Aaron Rodgers, but it's the divisional. So I do think the Packers are going to pick up the victory.
Yeah, I do think that the Niners will scratch and claw trying to get their way to a victory. But I'm reading the weather report here, and it's going to be classic Green Bay playoff football. Possible snow and most likely going to be either single-digit or below zero temperatures. So I think that being a team like the 49ers, there's no way you can really replicate that because you have your indoor facility, but their outdoor facility is in Santa Clara, and it's like 75, 80 degrees outside,
I mean,
even
Niners,
in February.
The Niners did play in a monsoon this year.
They did, but they didn't
play
well.
Yeah, they did not play well at all.
And I think with that, the Packers seem to always play well in the snow.
I mean, that's what they're known for. Same right. with the Patriots, same with the Bills. I mean, they're all teams that play in that weather. And, I mean, that's why, I mean, you guys got, like, Kurt Warner saying every team should have a dome. I bet they would. But, no, I mean, weather is an advantage to some of these teams. And that's why you see cold weather teams win in January.
You see Kurt Warner's silver jacket.
Yeah, he also has awesome takes on Carson Wentz. I'm not a fan of those. I mean, he's right on some of it, but he's a known Carson Wentz hater, to say the least.
Carson Wentz doesn't help himself in that department. No. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The Packers, I think, are by far and away the best team in this game. The Packers may be the best team left in the tournament. As well, I think they've proven this year that they're more than just Aaron Rodgers at times when Rodgers hasn't looked great. And he has had some times this year, especially early on.
Yeah, the first game of the year.
When he struggled, everybody was, oh, my gosh, the Packers are going to be awful. Aaron Rodgers, how can he? But to play through all the noise that they played through this year, not only with, is Rodgers coming back? Is he not coming back? Was he happy? Is he not happy?
And they all got
COVID. Does his foot hurt? Does his foot not hurt?
Right.
Is he showing his toe on TV?
He's then immunized.
Then the whole, I'm immunized, but I'm just not vaccinated. And all the mess that the Packers have played through this year.
And they're still
the number one seed. Mm-hmm. And I really think that
they always find a way.
That they will. And they won't make the same dumb mistakes the Cowboys made. We know that.
But
you know, the Cowboys there at the end.
I do have a question for you, though. Will they make the same dumb mistakes that they have in years past? Say they do make this game, they win this game. Do you think they'll make the same dumb mistakes they have in the NFC Championship game?
I guess we're going to have to talk about that next
week. I just know that the Fleur and their play callers aren't going to call a quarterback draw with
from
that many seconds left.
Or whatever.
And Aaron Rodgers is going to be smart enough.
He'll chuck it out of bounds before we do
that.
Yeah,
I mean, that was just not the best play. I love Dak Prescott. I mean, I root for that guy. Tremendous story and what he was through and to get back. But you know, you got to get down, man. You know, and then you got to hand the ball. You got to know the rules. You got to hand the ball to the umpire that's going to mark the ball. Right. So anyway, that's beside the point. I really like the Packers in this game, and I think they win it.
Yeah, and then they face their ultimate enemy, the NFC Championship game, which they've lost in, it seems like, every season.
What, you're assuming that the Buccaneers are going to win?
We're going to get to that in a second.
Okay, all right.
But like Mr. Easter kind of said, the other game in the NFC across the way is the Los Angeles Rams taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Rams looked really good.
The Tampa Bay Gronkaneers.
Tampa Bay Gronkaneers. Monday Night Football last week, the Rams got a huge victory over the Arizona Cardinals, 34-11. Odell Beckham Jr. saying, "I was not the problem in Cleveland." Passing for over 55 yards.
Baker. Sorry.
I don't know. I think he was hurt all year, honestly.
Baker is playing through some pretty significant injuries there.
Didn't he have like a torn labrum in his left shoulder like all
through? He played through a lot this year. I mean, he'll be the quarterback for them next year.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that in the offseason. But yeah, the Rams, Buccaneers, I mean, this is probably the marquee matchup in the NFC. Obviously, you think Packers are going to.
Marquee matchup?
Yeah, that's whatever I meant. But, but I mean, this game happened earlier in the season, and the Rams won. Do I think that's going to happen again? I really want to pick the Rams. Like, I think the Rams could beat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, but it's Tom Brady in the playoffs. And you can't pick against Tom Brady in the playoffs unless he loses.
Tom Brady has, I want to say he's tied fourth all time compared to like his playoff wins and other NFL playoff, like teams, franchises.
That's the dumbest.
He's
stat
fourth all time.
Ever. That's dumb. Tom Brady did not win every one of those playoff games on his own. That is the dumbest stat.
I've told multiple people, I will die on this hill 1,000 out of 1,000 times. If he gets drafted, let's say he gets drafted by literally any team in the NFC, the Colts are the dynasty of the 2000s.
Well, I mean, okay. If Tom Brady doesn't exist, the Colts are the dynasty of the 2000s.
But he did.
If the Colts offensive line was better, Andrew Luck would still be in the league.
I don't know.
And if I were 6 feet taller, I'd be in the NBA. But that didn't happen. So there you go.
Hey, the Colts had one Super Bowl, and they lost one in Drew Brees' baby. Yeah. As a Pat McAfee does not like.
You know, but I think with this one, the Rams looked awfully good against the Cardinals, but you kind of have to compare apples to apples here. The Cardinals were a team that limped into the playoffs, fell apart.
They looked like they didn't want to be there.
They looked, yeah.
Kyler Murray had no time to throw the ball. The defense was just getting ran on by Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford. And then, like, with one of the best, I mean, granted, Cooper Kupp is the best wide receiver in the league right now.
Statistically.
I will say this about Tom Brady. He is older than every opposing coach left in the playoffs.
I was
going to
say that. Shanahan and LaFleur are 42 and McVay's 35.
Yeah.
And he's 44.
That's just amazing. And he's older than the coach of the Bengals, too. But anyway, with this game, I'm like you. I really want to pick the Rams, but I can't.
No. Yeah, I have to go Tampa. I mean, you just can't pick against Tom Brady. I mean, I hope the Rams win this game. Like, I do. It'd be awesome. I mean, I would like to see Stafford win a ring because, I mean, he's been in the league for a while on the Lions, and they haven't done anything, really.
I think he's in, like, his 12th season.
But I also kind of want to see the Rams lose because I don't think paying for championships is the way to build.
Right.
And I don't want that to be a motto in the NFL.
Everybody has their philosophy. Not everybody's Stan Kroenke.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's the thing. I mean, culture.
Jerry Jones is probably up there as far as net worth, but not every owner is Stan Kroenke. So yeah.
I have a team in mind that I really want to win the Super Bowl, but we'll get to them next game.
All right.
But, yeah, I mean, so you pick Buccaneers?
Yep, unfortunately.
All three go Buccaneers, and hey, maybe we're all wrong. And then the final game of the divisional round going over
this game.
To the AFC. Probably, I mean, this is going to be a fun one. A matchup that we saw last year in the AFC Championship game. The Buffalo Bills traveling up to Kansas City. Traveling down to Kansas City,
over,
you should say.
Around,
over,
wherever.
Left. however you're looking at the U.S.
West.
The Buffalo
They're going
Bills.
Going to Kansas to play Kansas City.
Take on the
Missouri.
Kansas City Chiefs.
You guys didn't call me on that?
Missouri. Oh, I said Missouri.
It's Missouri. I don't know why. It's so goofy.
Kansas City, Missouri.
There is a Kansas City, Kansas, too.
Why couldn't they put him there?
Just very small.
It's just right on the other side of the the border.
Which is funny because everybody that lives in Kansas City lives in Missouri. Almost everybody.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can live there once.
The Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills are a team that has beat opponents by 10 points or more 12 times this season.
They didn't beat the Colts, though.
The Colts blew them out.
Yeah, there you go.
The Indianapolis Jonathan Taylors that game.
Yeah, the Jonathan Taylors did a really good job there. But one thing the Chiefs don't have is a running game, an elite running game. And, I mean, that's the one thing the Colts had, and that's how you beat the Bills.
But they do have
Patrick
something
Mahomes.
The Colts have not had in several years.
Great quarterback.
a MVP level quarterback named Patrick Mahomes, who is, I know that like Twitter loves to rip on commentators because it seems like commentators are in love with Patrick Mahomes. He's a player I haven't seen in this league. You know, Patrick Mahomes is he can do it all. He can make plays with his legs. He can throw. He doesn't
his
have
left
to be,
hand, right
he
hand.
He can he actually can throw a left handed shovel pass, which you know some people can't. but you know the thing with Patrick Mahomes at home, there's going to be 70 some thousand. It's the loudest stadium in the league. Sorry, Seattle. They took it back. You know, it's louder than like jet planes when it gets going. And you know those fans will be pumped up for the AFC title game. Chiefs have been to the Super Bowl two straight years. They won it 2 years ago. They lost last year to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I think that this game favors the Chiefs. But you know what? I'm going to pick the Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills.
I want Buffalo to win. So I want Buffalo to win a Super Bowl. They deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, they went to four straight and lost them all. I mean, that's been rough for Buffalo. I mean, ever since then, they were kind of bad. And they finally got good. And then, I mean, we'll see, but...
I wonder if Bills Mafia will travel, though, because they travel pretty well.
There's not going to be seats left.
No, it's going to be sold out.
Those Chiefs fans, they'll gobble all that up.
I mean, I would like to take the Bills. I really would. But I cannot, it's kind of, I can't pick against Kansas City until they lose. And I mean, if they do that, and then we'll see.
They did lose last year in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that's the Super Bowl. I want to see them lose in the AFC.
I am going to side with Mr. Easter over here and give it to Buffalo. I think that Buffalo will pull it out and possibly win a big name. Everybody's talking about Patrick Mahomes. A lot of people are forgetting about Josh Allen.
He's a great quarterback.
Great quarterback.
Too. I mean, he's a top five quarterback, too.
Will he be able to stay warm, though, in Kansas City? Did you look up the forecast for Kansas City?
Whatever it is, it's not touching Buffalo weather.
Well, I mean, yeah, he is used to Buffalo weather, so.
Did you see the one game against New England? It was like 6 degrees.
I don't think that New England was belonging in the playoffs. No. But that's just me.
Yeah, I think that team was a little bit.
I think they were well coached.
Oh, Bill Belichick, I mean, I think this was one of his best coaching jobs, probably since Brady's rookie year, in all reality, but they lost. So that's going to be the divisional round. We talked a little bit too long, so Owen's not going to be able to join us for the final two parts of the show, but thanks for Owen for joining us, and we'll take a quick break and come back talking Indiana Pacers. They got a big win last night over the Golden State Warriors in overtime. Chris Duarte, the future, we'll talk about it and more. We'll be right back on the Sports Spotlight.
Ya que las vacunas contra el COVID-19 estén disponibles, es posible que te preguntes, ¿debería vacunarme? ¿Me ayudará a volver a hacer lo que me encanta, como reunirme con mis amigos o viajar? ¿Y podré hacerlo sin poner en riesgo a mi familia? Tienes preguntas, y eso es normal. Así que visita detidepende.org para obtener la información más reciente sobre las vacunas contra el COVID-19. Para volver a los momentos que extrañamos, comienza por informarte. De ti depende. Un mensaje del Ad Council y los CDC.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help me get back to doing the things I love, like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And we will now send you back to the Sports Spotlight with your hosts, Jackson White and Owen Poole. And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. I'm your host, Jackson White, as the intro said. And Owen Poole is not here. He just left.
I'll play Owen.
But John Easter's joining me here for the second segment of the show. And as we mentioned, we talked in the first segment about NFL divisional playoffs. If you missed it, you're just tuning in, you can hear it on Audio Boom and all podcast forms later, as it will be posted after the show. But the Indiana Pacers are a team that only has 17 wins this season. And before traveling California, they only had 15 wins. They beat the Los Angeles Lakers last night in a big margin. That's something I never, who expected them to beat them? I mean, this team is terrible, but they won 111-104. And then last night on TNT, the Pacers' only primetime game this season, or national television game, you want to say, they won 121-117, and they trailed all game until the fourth quarter. And they had a great, really, second half. They looked good. Kind of, for a team that's the Pacers, they looked good. And they forced overtime. Justin Holiday hit a shot with 9 seconds left over Stephen Curry to force overtime. Before the shot, Steve Kerr was all, he thought he won the game. He was laughing with his guys. Man, it's the Pacers. Holiday hits a three. They forced overtime. Dorte does his thing. Dorte Skikes, or Swy, I don't know how to say his name. Kiefer Skikes. Skies, yeah. He's 28 and a rookie. And he started at guard because Malcolm Brogdon plays a game as he
plays. Kiefer Sykes.
Sykes, yeah. I think it's, Skikes.
Sykes. S-Y-K-E-S. Sykes.
Well, he's the new starting point guard Kiefer. For us, so I need to get
Kiefer
used to that.
Sykes.
Kiefer. But Malcolm.
Jack Kiefer.
Oh, Sykes. Yeah, Jack Kiefer. Mm-hmm. But he started at point guard because Malcolm Brogdon played last night versus L.A., and then decided, no, I'm going to miss another 8 games in a row because that's his constant theme. No starters played in this one. Domantas Sabonis out with ankle injury. Miles Turner out with a foot injury. Caris LeVert out with a hip injury. And then Malcolm Brogdon out with his Achilles.
I was out because I had too much popcorn.
Man, too much popcorn. So that's all 5 of their starters right there. And then obviously T.J. Warren has not been seen in 2 seasons, and I don't know if we're going to see him again. So, I don't know.
He got left in the bubble.
He is still in the bubble right now, so maybe one day we can go down and get him. But they won this game. Starting a center, Goga Batadze, 13 points.
Kiefer Sykes. So, you got me to say it now. Kiefer Sykes, but you can say Goga Batadze.
That's because I've heard his name more.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I could say that before anyone else could. It's just because I listen to it.
Right.
And if I hear it 30,000 times, I can say it.
Yep.
But if I hear it once.
I'm just joking with you.
Oh, yeah. But Torrey Craig got the start. Justin Holiday, Goga Batadze, Chris Dorte. And then, obviously, Kiefer Sykes. Right?
Sykes.
That's a name.
Like Syke.
Sykes. Yeah. Sykes had 10 points, by the way. But
there you go.
Chris Dorte, 27 points. 7 rebounds, just an impressive night from the Rooks. Isaiah Jackson off the bench, 19 minutes, 15 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 blocks. Isaiah Jackson, he's a guy they drafted and picked 22 in the first round. He has not played too much. He played one game over there in the G League. 5-for-5 from three-point land, 28 points, 15 rebounds. They said, yeah, he's probably too good for the G League. So they brought him up. Now he's playing on the team. And he's a guy who was catching lobs last night, and he really gave the Pacers something they have not had in a long time, which is a lob threat. And whenever you got a player like Isaiah Jackson, who can do everything Miles Turner can do, obviously Turner probably can shoot it better because he's been in the league longer. This guy's a rookie, by the way. He's only 20. Miles Turner's 27, 26, I think 27. Miles Turner makes $18 million a year. This guy makes $3 million a year. He can block shots, obviously not as on an efficient level yet, but he has the ability to. I mean, I just do not see I'm a big Miles Turner fan. I have two Miles Turner jerseys at home. But I just do not see a reason the Pacers continue to have Miles Turner on the roster.
Miles Turner's 25.
25. I mean, but he's making a bunch of money. He's right. Making $18 million a year for the next three. And, I mean, he's going to want more because he sees himself as a star. And, I mean, obviously you're going to have to choose Sabonis or Turner at this point. Sabonis is a guy who's, if the Pacers were good this year, he'd be an all-star again. Even though the Pacers want him to be one, he won't get it because they're not good, record-wise. But Sabonis is averaging 22, 13, and 6. It's pretty good for a center. Miles Turner averaging 12 points, 7 rebounds, 3-point-something blocks. I mean, he's good at blocking the ball, but he can't grab rebounds. He shoots inconsistently, 29% from 3. I mean, he's just not what you want to see from three-point land. And when you have a rookie like Isaiah Jackson who can come in and kind of fill the void Turner would when it comes to blocking shots, I see the Pacers. I mean, I think it's time to move on from Miles Turner.
Well, I mean, the thing is, we keep talking about it. It's like, when are the Pacers going to actually
now,
do something?
He's hurt.
Right.
But
because of the stress reaction, which I never heard that term ever before. I had to look it up, but the thing with Miles, it's kind of like you're kind of the Pacers just have waited so long to make some sort of move, and it's like
they just sit
there.
Are
you going to?
It's like they sit there hoping it's going to work, and like hoping if they give it another week, it's just going to get better.
Well, I think Coach Simmons has told us before, hope is not a strategy.
Yeah.
In regards to Indiana high school football, hope is not a strategy when you're the Pacers. So you have to decide what you're going to do, because still right now this team has,
direction.
We said it before, they have no rudder. Mm-hmm. We don't know where they're going. They're just kind of floating around. And sure, it was nice to see them get a win last night.
I'd rather have them lose for a better draft pick.
You know, after that's the other thing too. You know, we saw that list come out on Twitter this week. The Pacers are the only team that haven't had a single pick inside the top 10.
And since like 1988, and they picked Rick Smits with that pick, and he is now
– he worked out.
Old. He was a great center, but now he's old. So if that tells you anything
– Yeah, they had a couple of good drafts there with Reggie Miller and Chuck Person and Rick Smits. Those were they worked out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a good draft core, and then they struggled at drafting probably for the next 20 years.
35 years.
No, yeah. They drafted Danny Granger and Paul George. I mean, those were good picks. And then Miles Turner was a good pick.
Kawhi Leonard, but he was never going to be a Pacer.
Yeah, George Hill.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it would have been nice to see Kawhi Leonard here, but I don't think Kawhi Leonard becomes
the – He was never going to be a Pacer. He was picked specifically for –
The Spurs. And even if, let's say, he were to be a Pacer – I don't think he becomes the player that he was. I think Greg Popovich created Kawhi Leonard in a way, formed him to the player he is today, and now he's hurt. So Paul George is too.
Right.
So they're both hurt over there in L.A. land.
But, you know, you look at the Pacers, they're 17-29 now, 12.5 games out.
Oh, at playoffs is just out of the picture.
Yeah. Well, they're, the 10th position still gets a playoff berth, so they're only – 6 games out of that. The Eastern Conference is really compacted right now at the top. I mean, there's 6.5 games between 1st and 10th right now in the Eastern Conference. So the Raptors are at 500 and they're in the 10th position right now. Playoffs are still a long way off for the National Basketball Association. But when you look at the Western Conference and you see that the Pacers defeated the second seed in the West, that is impressive.
With all their players out.
And then the night before, they defeated the Lakers, and the Lakers are right now in the 8th position in the West, and who knows what's going to happen to former Pacers coach Frank Vogel, who any moment now could be fired. I think the only thing keeping him on right now is that LeBron likes him. I think that's about the only reason why Frank Vogel's hanging on there. The Lakers were expected to do much more than 22-23 right now.
Mean, the Lakers are a team that has a bunch of old players. And, I mean, it's the Lakers did this. They've done this multiple times where they put a bunch of veterans together and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
They did it in 2012. They brought it. Dwight Howard in. They bought
even before then.
Steve Nash in 2004.
Gary Payton came Karl Malone, yeah.
It has not worked every time they've done this, and they continue to do it thinking it will.
Right.
I think Carmelo Anthony is still a solid player. I do. I mean, that was a good sign. But the other guys, they got DeAndre Jordan, he's nothing. I mean, that's just Russell Westbrook. I mean, the media. L.A. media is the worst media to be in. If you're an L.A. sports player and you make
New
a mistake.
New York would like a word.
Well, New York's close. But, like, if Russell Westbrook was on the Pacers or something, he's never going to be. They'd never allow him to do what he does. But if he was on the Pacers, no one would know about him. I mean, they'd know about him. But if he had a bad game, I mean, like, oh, well. If you have a bad game in L.A. land or New York, everyone talks about it.
Well, it's like I think Keyshawn Johnson talked about it. L.A. is a Lakers town.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's their team. It's like the Rams are – it's kind of a nice diversion. The Chargers, nobody pays attention to.
Yeah, they have
you know,
there.
They kind of get lost. They like the Kings. They like hockey in Los Angeles. The Clippers are certainly nice when the Lakers are struggling. But L.A. is primarily a Lakers town and a USC town. That's those are the two teams that people really watch and root for out there in Los Angeles. So, you know, that's kind of like our – here in Indianapolis, it's the Colts right now. This is a Colts town. You know, every town, Boston has the Celtics, you know, and the Red Sox, I would say. Those would be Chicago is the Bulls and probably the Bears. But, you know, every city has its primary team that dominates sports media and stuff. And for Los Angeles, it's the Lakers. It always has been. Showtime Lakers. And even before that, I mean, you know, since they moved – from Minneapolis.
I mean, they've had stars at every level. I mean, they went from the late, great Kobe Bryant. I mean, they waited a couple years. Now they have LeBron James, who you could argue is the best player ever. I mean,
he's in the conversation.
He's in the conversation. And they had, I mean, the LeBron James before LeBron James and Magic Johnson.
Magic, yeah.
Kareem. I mean, they had Shaq, the Diesel, most dominant player ever.
They're able, Karl Malone, they're able to attract those those big name players easily because of the bright lights of Los Angeles, and they've always been the dominant team in the media out there. So when things go bad, the media is going to rip on the Lakers. That's what they do.
That's one thing I'm kind of surprised is that the Knicks do not give free agents how you think they would.
Right. But like, I think that's related to who owns the team. Yeah. Potentially one of the worst owners in sports in James Dolan.
I mean, if he sold the team, I would assume. I mean, if Dolan doesn't own the Knicks a couple of years ago, I think Durant goes to the Knicks over the Nets.
Quite possibly, yeah.
I mean, that's just something. And I mean, Kevin Durant is possibly the best player in the league when fully healthy. But going back to the Pacers, they're a team that's, like you said, 13th in the East. I mean, they're only six games back. I don't think the playoffs are a thing, but I think they need to pick a direction.
They'd be 12th in the West, so there you go.
Hey, maybe they just need to make a midseason change.
Yeah, who lower?
But they need to pick a direction. They
flip Memphis and Indiana. That'd be about right.
I've always thought about that because they always get even. Memphis is actually doing really good this year.
They are.
Unlike us. But I just was thinking, and what's the direction of this team for the remainder? It doesn't matter if they make a trade or not. They need to make a choice. Are you going to try to push for this 8th seed in the East? Because I don't know. I mean, obviously Simon loves his little team. But are you going to tank? And, I mean, they kind of just – I mean, they've been doing a good tank job this year. They have. I mean, they lost – they before the trip to Cali or L.A., they haven't won. They went 1-11 in their last 12. Pretty good, I mean, when it comes to tanking. But I think they need to start playing young guys. I mean, Goga Batadze has played big minutes in the last two games, and he's performed to a decent amount. 13 points, 9 rebounds last night. He had a couple blocks. He had 17 versus the Lakers. I mean, that's decent. I mean, I'm a guy who wishes he wasn't on the team because I just don't think he's his. I just don't like him as a person. I mean, I'm not saying that, but I just, the way he carries himself, I'm just not a fan. Like in the summer league, he just decided not to show up. I mean, that's just kind of, and then he was posting stuff on Instagram, him exploring places. That just hit me really wrong. I mean, you're a guy who's trying to make a roster, trying to make a team, trying to better yourself. You're supposed to play in the summer league, and you're out there exploring China. I mean, just get a grip, I guess. I don't know. And I just didn't like the pick whenever we drafted him. We have two centers, and you're going to go draft another one? I don't know. But maybe play him some more, see if he can actually be a decent player in the league. Isaiah Jackson, a guy who's barely played really good last night in his really first time getting big minutes. 19 minutes for Jackson, 15.7 rebounds, 3 blocks. And then Chris Duarte started the season as a starter, and then they moved him to the bench. Obviously, he has stuff going on, too. He got hurt. He had a child. I mean, congrats to him. But I think he needs to be a starter for the remainder. You need to get your young guys playing time because you need to see what direction you want to do. Do you want to build around Duarte? I mean, do you want to have the core of Duarte and Jackson be something that you actually attempt to build around? I'm not saying those guys are going to be stars. I'm just, this team doesn't have a direction. They need to choose, and they need to choose soon.
Yep.
I mean, that's just basically what it is.
Agreed.
I mean, you got a guy like Malcolm Brogdon who plays once every 5 games, and I mean,
he can't do anything with him till the end of the year.
No, and I mean, in all reality, it seems like his injury is pretty bad because he constantly has to sit. Why don't you just roll him out for the year? We're not going to win a championship this year. If you want to have him on your team going forward, why don't you rest him? Obviously, they're resting T.J. Warren. I mean, he better come out being Michael Jordan as long as he's been resting, because he's now, this, if he does not play this season, this will be 3 straight missed seasons of a foot injury. I don't know. I don't even know if he's ever going to play again at this point. Bubble TJ Warren was something else, and I think he's still down there. They need to go get him or something. Like, go search.
He's for still him. In the hotel.
He's still in the hotel in
That's
the bubble.
That's what it is.
But I don't know. I mean, in the bubble,
he's waiting 32. For an Uber.
He's waiting for an Uber. But I don't know. Only thing that's fun about this team is Lance Stephenson. I think he brought some spark back to Indy, and I think he's going to sell tickets to an extent. And, I mean, Pacer fans will go to watch Chris Duarte and Isaiah Jackson. Just have go see the rookies. What people are bored of is the constant theme of Miles Turner, Domantas Sabonis, Caris LeVert, and Malcolm Brogdon. That is the most boringest group I've ever seen. I like Sabonis, and I think he could be fun with all these other guys. It's just that core together is boring. And they don't win, and they don't play together, and they're all balled out. And I don't know. I'd rather see all the group that played last night play than them. Toss Sabonis in there because I like Sabonis, but that's it. That's really it. But we're going to switch topics now.
So Herb Simon, give Jackson a call.
He should. I would run it better than him.
By the way, this is WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis.
I was about to say that right before I did.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, Herb Simon, if you're listening, man, obviously you're not because you don't know anything going on with your team because you would know that your team's terrible. And you would do something, but instead you say you love your little team and you think we're a championship contender. So you continue in your magical bubble, Herb. And at least Jim Irsay pays attention to his city and his team, even though maybe he should make some changes too one day.
He will.
Oh, yeah. He said he's going to put all the marbles on the table. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what they do in the offseason. But switching topics now to college basketball.
Here's a quick difference between Herb Simon and Jim Irsay. Herb Simon's main business is his shopping malls, the business that they've been highly successful in building here in Indiana. And they're great mm-hmm. on that side of things. His main business is not the Indiana Pacers. Jim Irsay's main business is the Indianapolis Colts. That's what he lives for. That's his identity. That's his family's identity. That's the difference between those two.
Yeah, and I mean, I can basically tell it right there. Yeah,
right.
And I just wish an owner, I mean, people have been saying this for a while. I wish Simon would sell the team to an owner who is passionate about the game of basketball.
And Jim Irsay understands what he has to do as an owner in this city,
mm-hmm.
too, because that's why he's active on Twitter. That's why he posts, like yesterday, he posted a picture of him at 307 pounds lifting weights.
Oh, I saw that whenever he was in
that was pretty
school.
Impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he's really active on Twitter. He's constantly doing giveaways.
Right.
Like any food place you want to eat on out there. It's so funny because it's like $1,000 and you'll have people comment, like, just some random restaurant, like O'Charley's. Like, right. You could have picked anywhere.
I know, you could have picked, right.
You picked O'Charley's.
I always picked Dawson's on Main. That's my go-to. But, you know, when you look at what Jim Irsay does, and, you know, he's eccentric. There's no question about it. Oh, he's had his problems in the past, and it's been well documented, and it's been written about, but he hasn't hidden from any of that. And in fact, he's, you know, starting this kick the stigma thing, talking about mental health. Mm-hmm. And I mean, those are all great things. And I think that buys you a lot of, that buys you a lot of just goodwill from the community. Oh, yeah. If they know that you care. I mean, Jim Irsay could have moved this team probably several times,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't, because I think he likes the city and he doesn't want to be his dad. You know, he doesn't want to make those kind of decisions. That's been well written and things. But Herb Simon, you never hear from him. No. And when you do, he says the wrong thing.
I love this little team. Oh, I bet you do. Right. Who's playing for your team right now, Herb? Who's the starting point guard?
Reggie Miller?
No, not Reggie Miller. It's not Mark Jackson either.
Jalen Rose.
Yeah, Jalen Rose. Travis your starting Best. Point guard. Travis Best. Jamal Tinsley.
Jonathan Bender.
Is he hurt?
Steve Stepanovich. What?
Is Bender hurt?
Clark Kellogg. We're going way back now.
Way back.
Vern Fleming.
Vern Fleming, Indiana legend.
Roger Brown.
That's way back.
That's way, way back. That was before even the Simons owned it. I just know that this city saved the Pacers.
Oh, here. Yeah.
I mean, there was a time the Pacers were going to fold, and they had an actual auction on television to save the Pacers. A pledge drive to save the Pacers. That's why Nancy Leonard and Bob Leonard are so beloved in this town, mm-hmm. is because they saved professional basketball here. So there is a love affair with the Pacers, but I think it's for people that are my age and older. I think a lot of people your age are not Pacers fans.
Yeah, they just, I mean, all the kids in school now, obviously I'm a Pacer fan, but I was kind of born into it.
Right.
All these people now you go around, I'm a Bulls fan. I'm a Warriors fan. Exactly. I'm a Lakers fan.
Right, and because we have not had anyone in this city to grab onto in a long time. And, you know, that's what you need. Like, that's what the Colts are good at, is they've really done a good job this year with Hard Knocks and other things to give this team some personality so that you can root for Jonathan Taylor and you can root for Darius Leonard and you could root for Carson Wentz if you want to. But, you know, you can do that. And the Pacers need to be better at that. They need to make their players more, I don't know. It just seems like the Pacers are floundering on the other side of town. The Colts are 9-8. They missed the playoffs. Everybody cares about that. The Pacers are 17-29.
No one cares.
You know, and you just mentioned a player today, Kiefer Sykes. I never heard of that guy before. And I feel like I'm fairly up on things.
The Pacers,
in this town,
and I mean, he's a guy who has started last night.
Right. So I think that's another problem that the Pacers have that they have to fix.
Yeah, and I mean, this team has not had that pop. I mean, they had it for a minute in 2017 when Oladipo came to town, and people grasped on that. Oladipo sold jerseys.
Pacers fans want someone they can root for. The city wants something that, you know, that they can put on the nightly news and be like, hey, did you see what Victor Oladipo did last night? Look at this. You know, he hit the shot to win the game, beat the Boston Celtics, and here it is. Here's the show. Wasn't it exciting? Yeah, the Pacers are hot. Let's go downtown to the playoff game. You know, this city loves that. But when the Pacers are bad,
there's nothing.
You're going to get 12,000 people.
Yeah, and that's, I mean,
and you're down to the diehards. You're not getting much walk-up business. You know, it goes back to and I've mentioned it before on your show, goes back to that JOB era when the Pacers came to Ben Davis High School and we're handing out tickets, and you spun a wheel and you got two free tickets. And so you'd spin the wheel, and if it hit whatever, they're like, okay, here's your two free tickets. I'm like, oh, that's a Friday night, I can't go. Well, we've got these tickets, you know. and that's where we are again with this team, and I don't see anybody to save it. I really don't right now. I think from the ownership down, the ownership doesn't have any idea. He probably still thinks that they're the toast of the town, you know. But you've got a Kevin Pritchard, who knows what he's doing. You've got the rest of the organization. you just, I mean, put Rick Carlisle in charge. I think at least he cares.
He would, yeah. I think Carlisle is a GM, kind of like a GM coach, like a Popovich.
Can't get any worse than it is now.
I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, he would make a trade.
I mean, if you don't want to fire Kevin Pritchard, make him vice president of super basketball operation inflation, whatever you want to get, whatever title you want to give him, because I know they don't like to fire people.
Just make Carlisle the GM.
Give somebody that responsibility, and you know, hopefully it means something. But
hopefully they hit on a draft pick this
like,
year.
Like, do we even know who Chris Duarte is?
I mean, I do. You,
I mean, but you're a diehard, yeah. Right? Where's the feature stories on the news?
Yeah, because I last night. I mean, I'm a big Pacer fan and all that. I heard his voice for the first time last night after a post game interview.
Yeah,
he did. How
do you
like
do that?
Pictured.
How do you do that? You know, that's a failure of the Pacers franchise to make people care about their team. You know, he just had a baby, right? Where's that on the news? Where are the baby pictures? Where, you know, now. Granted, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's a private person.
No, we all post that stuff on his Instagram.
But if you're the Pacers PR organization, that's your job, is to get this team, to get people to care about this team. Pacers are great on social media.
Oh, yeah.
They really are.
They do a great job on
social media.
Twitter and Instagram.
But that old traditional media, that there's still a lot of people who can spend money and go watch the Pacers, like the little guy with his little flamingos and stuff. You know, that guy's a diehard. He's been with the Pacers for years. But
you don't see him there.
For me, if I don't care about the team, if they're out of sight, out of mind,
you don't watch.
Right. There's too much now. There's too much for people to watch. And I know we're going to get to another.
What you watched last night.
Yeah. But there's too much out there for people to pay attention to. And, you know, with sports betting and with all this other stuff that's out there, it really gobbles up the attention of a sports fan. You got to make people care about that team like you used to.
Yeah. And
I used to care about the Pacers, man. You know, Reggie Miller, he was like a member of the family.
And even late early 2010s, I mean, they had some good teams.
Right.
And, I mean, they packed house every night. Packed house.
Yep.
Everyone wanted to go down to Bankers Life to see the Pacers.
Yep.
It cost money to go see them. Now you could get a ticket for like $50.
Right.
Obviously, the food at Gainbridge Fieldhouse now is like $1,000.
Yeah.
But the tickets are pretty cheap right now.
And that
now
is such a good arena to go watch a basketball game in.
Oh, it's a great arena.
But there's not a bad seat in the house, and it's only gotten better with the renovations.
Mm-hmm.
And to their credit, the Pacers did a really nice job showing off the new field house. I think they – you know, had people come in on tours and, you know, as far as people, I mean, media come in on tours and push that out there. But we don't know who this team is. And I think that's a failure of the organization.
Yeah, and I just...
they need to invest some time and money instead of, you know, what's their slogan now? Gold-blooded?
Ooh.
I mean, what's that mean?
Gold-blooded losing.
What's that mean? You know, the old... I liked blue collar gold swagger. I liked that.
They had it for so long.
That was a great, you know, it described our city. We're blue collar, gold swagger, you know, it's the Pacers. That's when they had some swagger about them. Get back to that. You know, you hit on it there in your rant. Now this is my rant. You hit on it that people will go if they care about this team.
Oh, yeah.
If they feel like they're making an effort. If they feel like, wow, this is a really good young basketball team. They may be struggling right now, but in 3 or 4 or 5 years, we're going to have this same core here that we can enjoy and watch them grow. And they're us. You know, it's like that was the thing with Reggie Miller. He was L.A. and, you know, UCLA. He came from L.A. But when he got to be an Indiana Pacer, he was a Pacer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was Indiana. He could have run for president, governor.
He was Mr. Indiana.
Everything in Indiana and won. And you know, that's the thing I think that people don't understand about our city is that those guys, Peyton Manning, what?
Oh, I mean,
he played in Denver.
People would jump in front of a bus for Peyton Manning.
Right. He played in Denver? No, he didn't. He's a Colt. You know, that's the mentality of this city. And you see it with the 500, Elio Castroneves, Tony Kanaan, guys that grew up in Brazil, but they're as much Hoosiers as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this on Facebook the other day. Tony Kanaan announced that he was back with the American Legion as his sponsor for the 500 this year, which is great news. First person popped in with a xenophobic comment. Like, what part of America did you grow? Oh, man. People jumped to defend Tony Kanaan.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, he's a Hoosier. What are you talking about? He's one of us. And that's what it is with our city. Mm-hmm. It's like, don't come messing with our folks.
Oh, yeah, we'll be right behind him.
We'll be right behind him. I mean, mm-hmm. but that's the thing. When Tony Kanaan takes the lead at the 500.
Oh, it's so loud.
You know, it's as loud as it is for Ed Carpenter. It's as loud as it is for any of those guys. But that's because we know Tony Kanaan. You know, he's one of us. He lives in the city. He's raising his kids here. His wife is, you know.
He helps. He does all kinds of TV stuff for 500
years. He's on television. He's, mm-hmm. you know, he's on the radio because he's Tony Kanaan. And I just think that IndyCar, TK himself, Chip Ganassi Racing, whoever he's racing for, they do such a good job making him.
Putting him out there.
Right. Elio Castroneves is another one. But, you know, you'll see Dave Calabro go down to interview Elio.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
He just got introduced into the Hall of Fame or something
right,
like
but
that.
But you never see that for Pacers players right now.
Oh, no.
Like, Domas has been here for how long?
5 years.
I really don't know too much about Domas.
Because he's just, I mean, the city gets behind superstars.
Right.
And they don't have a superstar in that. You had Oladipo. He was on the verge, and then he got hurt.
Right.
And
so,
I mean,
I don't know, but that's my rant. I just don't think that the Pacers do a very good job with marketing anymore.
Yeah, it's boring. It's honestly just boring, and no one wants to go watch a boring basketball game. And, I mean, the Colts games, even when they were bad, people still went. Because Colts games are fun.
Right.
And Pacer games right now are not. And that's just as simple as it is. But now shifting topics to a game that was extremely fun that happened last night. College basketball hoops. Two teams that play every year. And one team has had the advantage recently, but another team is coming on with a brand new head coach who is undefeated when he wears a suit. The Indiana Hoosiers taking on the Purdue Boilermakers. The Indiana Hoosiers beat the Boilermakers for the first time in their last 9 matchups, 68-65. The Hoosiers now improved to 14-4, Purdue now 15-3, and the Hoosiers 14-0 when head coach Mike Woodson wears a suit.
Yeah, that was a fun game to watch last night. And, you know, I'm never a big person who enjoys court storming. You know, I'm not that guy. It's not that I'm against it, but last night you can kind of understand why those people ran out on that court because it was like all the frustration, all the close calls,
took
all
the monkey off the back.
Exactly. It just lifted mm-hmm. and you know, it was a spontaneous response, but I was impressed with IU's response to it because they got everybody off the floor safely, which, you know, kind of in a situation a few years back at Kentucky, it was kind of a madhouse.
Yeah.
They were ready for it this time. But, you know, Mike Woodson has just, I think, restored a lot of things in Bloomington. The biggest thing that was missing in Bloomington was the connection between the alumni and this basketball team.
And I think that brought that back. Bob Knight came back. I know he's obviously not in good health, and he probably doesn't know where he's at, but he came back.
Fortunately,
he came back.
I'm not a Bob Knight fan myself.
Just an IU alumni that
right.
hasn't been here.
Right. Well, he's not an alumni, but he actually went to Ohio State. But
he
was coach of the Hoosiers. I respect what he did for Indiana, no question. I mean, certainly great, one of the greatest basketball minds that you'll ever see. But obviously his off-the-court stuff really turned me off, you know, grabbing players, stuff like that. We don't need to get into it because he's an old man. you know, and certainly he's very important to Coach Woodson because he coached Coach Woodson. Mm-hmm. And I think having him back, having Bob Knight come back last year, just brought a lot of people back in the fold that probably for the last 20 years have been out mm-hmm. of the out of the fold. So I think a lot more people are paying attention now to Indiana basketball and
coaching,
what a time.
their coaching staff is got a good some alumni there.
Yeah, I Coach mean, Fife. All yep.
No, he's a good coach. He's a good assistant. That was a good bring back. But I mean this IU team. I mean, obviously, I don't know if they're going to be national championship contenders.
Probably
this
not
year,
this year.
But I feel like they're growing to be that again, and I haven't felt like they have not been at this level. Probably, I mean, since Oladipo and Zeller.
Let's face it. I mean, IU's done a decent job recruiting the last few years, but they haven't really recruited Indiana. Purdue's done a really nice job recruiting Indiana. Mm-hmm. You know, Trace Jackson Davis is an example of a kid that was a high-level recruit that went to IU. Rob Finnessy. I mean, they've done a good job overall. But, you know, Purdue seems to have gotten the last few years the Indiana guys. And credit to Coach Painter and Coach Brantley and those guys up there at Purdue. I really respect the Purdue Boilermakers. I'm not an IU fan that hates Purdue.
They've done a good job with that program.
I don't begrudge Purdue's success at all. They're a fun basketball team. And man, Jaden Ivey, I thought that shot was going to go.
Oh, that was ooh.
He took a good look.
That was oh my.
I don't quite understand what they were doing on the possession before.
No, but that last shot,
I mean, that
was
just, where he's falling out of bounds and it almost goes. I mean, those are the kind of shots that he hits because he's a big-time guy. But, you know, Finnessy, who's only a 27% three-point shooter, nails that three for the Hoosiers. You got Trace Jackson Davis, who played poorly pretty much the entire game.
Davis played 11 minutes with 4 points.
Foul trouble.
That tells you anything.
Yeah, foul trouble.
Davis sat the bench most of this game, and they won. And then you have people on Twitter saying that Davis, they're better off without him. Yeah. No, he's their best player. He's the best player on this team by a big margin. He just had a bad night, and I think he's a little bit injured.
Right. But I think also IU proved that it could do it without Trace Jackson Davis last night.
I mean, it showed the grit. And, I mean, I think that's one thing Coach Woodson has done with this team. He's made players. He's elevated them
right
to an extent. And I just think with past coaches that have been here, at least recently, IU does not win that game last night.
No, I think maybe they come out. Well, first of all, Assembly Hall is probably not that raucous last night if Mike Woodson's not the coach.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Indiana and Purdue haven't had these kind of records, both of them, in a long time. So, you know, when you've got Indiana coming in with the record they have, you got Purdue coming in ranked fourth in the nation. So this is now two top 15 teams that Indiana's beaten now on the Assembly Hall floor. That's getting back to that Coach Knight era where Indiana didn't lose at home. Mm-hmm. You know, they're
undefeated at home.
Hoosiers didn't lose at home, and they beat the teams they were supposed to beat on the road. Now they have to get back to doing that because we saw them lose against the Hawkeyes of Iowa.
They shouldn't have lost that game.
Shouldn't have. It was much tighter versus Nebraska than it probably should have been.
In all reality, I mean, they were just a little bit of they could have beat Wisconsin. They were there,
right?
It was a close.
Had a 17 point lead, I think, at one point against Wisconsin, and let it go.
22 point lead.
22. There you go.
And blew it. They should have beat Syracuse.
Had a chance against Syracuse.
That game went in overtime.
Right now they got down, I think, 17 in that game. Came back
and still lost.
Yep.
And then I mean, they started the season all at home.
Right.
At Syracuse, they should have beat them, but they didn't. I mean, that was
They lost to Rutgers on the road?
They lost to Penn State on the road.
Penn State, that was it. Should never lose to Penn State.
Uh-oh. I mean, that team is
not Indiana. Shouldn't lose to Penn State. So
Penn State's 6-5.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah, and I mean, they have a couple of tough games coming up. You got Michigan. You got your revenge at Penn State at Assembly Hall. You have at Maryland. I mean, that's an away game. You got to win that one. They should win that.
Maryland's struggling this year. Yeah. Lost their coach. Coach Turgeon quit earlier this year. Danny Manning is now the interim head coach.
And, yeah, Maryland. Then they have Illinois at a home.
Illinois is really good.
Oh, yeah, they're 17th ranked in the nation. And then you got Northwestern and Michigan State back-to-back road games.
Northwestern, a team you should beat on the road if you're Indiana.
I should.
Michigan State.
That's a tough team. They're 14th ranked in the nation. They have some tough players. I mean, he's one of the best coaches.
Best coaches in America, yep.
But those are games. I mean, if you want to be a team that's going to be playing in the end of March, you got to beat those teams.
And I think Coach Woodson knows that. I mean, he's been down this road before as a player and now as a coach. And I think he knows that. The problem is you just got to get the team to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get the Hoosiers to understand where they are and what they need to do.
Yeah, and I mean, this program, I think they're still a couple years away from being elite. But I think with Coach Woodson being the coach, I think that he can eventually get them there.
The most impressive thing that Coach Woodson has done, besides the wins this year, and besides establishing, once again, Indiana basketball, but I think one of the most impressive things that he did was to get all of the players he wanted to have back,
mm-hmm.
back. Because there were some guys that could have, you know, taken the big money of the NBA or gone into the transfer portal or whatever. And there were some players that did that. But he did a really good job recruiting his own players, trying to keep them there in Indiana. And, you know, I think that comes from him being Mike Woodson. You know, hey, I'm Mike Woodson. Oh, yeah. I coached in the NBA, and I was a success with the New York Knicks. And, oh, by the way, I played for Bob Knight. And, by the way, I'm Mike Woodson, and I won a national title. I mean, I think he can do that. He can go into a lot of living rooms in this state, and, you know, parents and grandparents are going to know who Mike Woodson is. And I think more and more people are going to want to go play for him.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, I think they're finally going to get that recruitment classes that they've been needing. Obviously, they've got some good players, but, I mean, they used to get really good players.
Yeah, all the good players really used to go to IU.
And now, I mean, obviously, Isaiah Thomas is a guy who used to play there back a long time ago. He was tweeting about them last night saying, I mean, this team's
– He's a good friend of Mike Woodson's.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a guy who played another together. Guy played a – They played together, and, I mean, there's all kinds of just older IU players that are coming out and really excited for this. And, obviously, if he's a friend of Mike Woodson, they're going to be around.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, IU, I mean, it can only go up from here.
Yeah, I'm excited for him, and certainly as an IU fan, I'm excited to see where this goes. But just as a college basketball fan, we're back to Indiana and Purdue being the top programs in the state of Indiana.
How it should
and
be.
That's, I mean, I would say that. Butler fans might disagree. Notre Dame fans, it's like, Notre Dame, is it even in Indiana? It is. I know it is. But sometimes it seems like
it's not.
Like they're on their own island up there towards Chicago, up in South Bend. But with, you know, IUPUI, man, they're really struggling right now.
Yeah,
Valparaiso.
Kinda...
You know, you have a lot of great programs. We need to get back to, I forgot, Ball State, where Jalen Windham's playing. They need to get back to having multiple Indiana teams in the tournament. The years when we had five, I forgot Indiana State, mm-hmm. you know, there are years that you had six or seven Indiana teams in the tournament. We haven't had that for
and
so
now
long.
Now you have like one. Maybe
now
two.
You have Purdue, you know,
Butler's made it a couple
Indiana
years.
Might slide in. Butler there for a while. Butler was probably the second best program in the state.
I mean, for a minute they were the best.
Right.
They were just a little bit of an inch away.
Inches away from winning the national
Gordon
title.
Gordon Hayward, half-court heave.
Yeah, but that's another problem for another day, another conversation, is what's going to happen with Butler. Because last night they get UConn down at the half, then they totally fall apart in a second. You know, it's like 5 years now with Coach Jordan. Is that working? I mean,
they were ranked there for a minute with him.
Butler's going to have to figure that out. You know, they kind of got hurt by the pandemic year. I think Butler was pretty good that year.
Yeah, they were ranked, and then they got hit by the pandemic. They came back, and they were
They have not come well out of that.
No.
And, you know, certainly we'll see what happens there with Butler. But, you know, it's still pretty cool to have the Big East here in Indianapolis coming in.
Oh, yeah.
The Big East teams with Villanova and, you know, Connecticut last night. It's still pretty wild to think these are the kind of teams that are coming to play at Hinkle Fieldhouse when – I was younger, it was not. They were in the Missouri Athletic, I can't remember, MVAC, something like that, league that's not even around anymore.
I mean, Hinkle Fieldhouse is such a great gem.
It is.
It is.
I kind of miss the old Hinkle.
Even though it didn't look like it on TV last night?
It looked like, yeah. It looked,
like they were somewhere else?
Yeah. I mean, the you know, they brightened up the lights. They've change the court, the look of the court, and all the signage and, you know, courtside seating and stuff. That to me is not Hinkle Fieldhouse. But yeah. I understand why they have to do it.
Yeah.
Nobody, I mean, they got to make revenue. They're one of the smallest Division I schools that play. So they got to make revenue. And, you know, your biggest asset when you're is your basketball gym.
Mm-hmm.
Their football program is not Division I. So, you know, they need to make money on basketball. So I understand why they did it.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, Indiana high school, well, not high school, high school hoops is really good too. But college is finally going up. And, I mean, this should be an exciting.
It'd be nice to see Butler get back in the discussion so that we can have Indiana, Purdue, Notre Dame, Butler, Ball State, Indiana State, Valpo, IUPUI, IPFW, all the Division I programs, Evansville, all of them back in and playing well again. That would be awesome.
But Mike Woodson can't coach them all. So,
no.
But that's going to wrap up the show. Thanks again, Owen Pulley, joining me, and John Easter, of course, joining me here on the Sports Spotlight. Thanks for listening. And, of course, if you want to listen to any part of this show, it will be up in podcast form very soon on Audio Boom and other podcast services. You can follow us, the show, on Twitter at @the_spotlight and give updates what's going on during the show and what's really happening. But this has been a special edition of the Sports Spotlight. For everyone joining me, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next Tuesday.